JG 1. Number 23B.
Yes, so therefore I think that gives us a little bit of a fluid sense of what is happening. And we can see then that our job, as we'll see according to this law, is to respond. Another point to see about this law of self-realization is that it's a law of self-realization of divine consciousness then, that new insight which is coming through revelation comes to the mind of Christ. So it's only going to reveal itself to that, as I said, consciousness, which is at one with the plan, that is like the plan. That's why our response is to make our consciousness as much like what God is as possible, so God can break through and establish the plan in our consciousness. So what is reality is seeking out itself, and the ideal situation is our consciousness is like reality. It's not like reality because we were lucky enough to be born with it like reality. It's like reality because we have chosen ourselves through the path that we're on to respond to the ascending way and to see, well, that all is mental, the mental can be good and evil, that, well, that those mental values usually are based on our common sense, our education, what the teacher tells us, or some silly thing like some false authority, until we finally realize we have to, our only authority are the ideas of mind and the ideas of spirit and the ideas of soul and the ideas of principle and the ideas of life and the ideas of truth and the ideas of love. So we begin to identify ourselves with those pure values through our compendium work of what mind is, what spirit is, what soul is, what principle is, what life is, what truth is, what love is, on the ascending way here, until finally all the ideas of mind within us make up the gestalt of mind, and we just, our consciousness is just mind on divine science level. It'll take us up to be just spirit, just soul, just principle, just life, just truth, just love. And that consciousness is prepared, and the Christ comes and uses it. And it flows through science and not suffering. As I said, the other bifurcation point will make us be the likeness of God through one way or another. So it responds especially to that mind of Christ. So that's this law of specification. And if we look now on page 83 in the study aid, we will see then that this law of the Christ on Absolute Christian Science has, we can explain through specific points. We see then on 83, to the study aid on page 83, and we can build up the tonality of this law just like we could the tonality of the law of Absolute Christian Science at the point of the word. So here then the law of the Christ on the level of Absolute Christian Science has a certain tonality that we want to be aware of. And therefore again that this is a chord with the accentuation on truth. So on the level of divine science now, that ideal truth, which is the whole truth and nothing but the truth, meaning that that ideal code now is the truth. It's the ideal. That's why the accentuation is here on truth. So that ideal of being, which is life, truth, and love, which was stated in the word, that now is the ideal. That's that whole truth. Is going to be individualized life. That's the purpose of the Christ law, a specification, to realize it as a specific ideal. That code which has come with each one of us now is going to be realized in our life, thank goodness. Starts happening. And it is adapted to the situation. So that ideal code in being now is infinitely individualized and adapted to the specific situation love. So you have that sense of truth, the ideal, at the point of life is individualized and love adapted. So it's a chord. Truth is the main tone of that ideal. Life just builds on it and says, oh, well, that's going to be infinitely individualized. And love says, oh, and I'm going to adapt it to the specific situation. That's that flow. Or another way of saying the same thing is the truth of all truth, the truth about the specific situation, whatever it is, whether it's our specific life or whether the truth about the business and what has to happen in the business, that comes forth as a code. And that is the truth about the situation, it's sitting there. The truth about a relationship, the truth about our life, the truth about our mission, the truth about the universe, the truth about the earth, the truth about the environment, the truth about everything. It's the truth of all truths. It's there. And now that is going to be brought out as a specifically individualized, and it's going to come and serve the purpose for which it was brought forth anyhow. It's going to serve the purpose. It's going to meet the need. If there is a need somewhere that there's deforestation of trees going on, there will be the need that will be met through one way or another. It's inevitable. It must have its ecological balance. It has to be brought out. It will be brought out. It's just a question whether it's through science or suffering, whether the world will let the Christ bring out the ecological balance, or whether we'll have to suffer it through. But it's going to be brought out. The species must evolve into a higher form. We don't know what the form is, but we know every species is evolving towards a higher form. So that is that truth of everything is now individualized, and it's going to be brought out. Or we could say that the Christ consciousness itself, which is that mind of Christ, that fact, appears as the individual Christ consciousness, which are a universal blessing, the comforter to everyone. So we know that if we go out from the mind of Christ as an individual Christ consciousness, that it will meet the need, it will bless. Regardless if it looks like it isn't blessing, it will bless. So we say, well, gee, I'm not a big teacher running around the whole universe teaching Christian science here and then taking the spaceship to the next galaxy and teaching it there and then taking it to the next galaxy and teaching it there. I'm not the Johnny Appleseed of the universe bringing Christ science everywhere. Silly, isn't it? Where can one person run all over everywhere teaching science? It's all impersonalized. Again, as I say, I can't be more impressed than in the manual where Mrs. Eddy didn't provide for a lot of teachers. She had a lot of people and students, but just a very, very few teachers are provided for there, because she sees that the divine mind is that which has its impact on the universe. It's not a human effort. It's not somebody. And of course we know at this time she says generic man will lead on the century. She knows that the individual responding to this law of the Christ will be a universal blessing wherever that individual is, because it goes on in consciousness. Our work is done at home, not out with a class. It's done before the class happens for all of us. And so we all could say we're teachers of the universe, or comforters of the universe, or saviors of the universe. And therefore the responsibility is put on all of us, not on just John Dorley or Max Kapler or a few other little handful of people. This is too small for such a universal idea. And we'd be fools to put the responsibility on a few people and say, this is my teacher or my practitioner. We'd be fools. It won't go forward. It's spiritualism at the worst. And that's religion. This idea will not go forward if we feel that there are personal teachers or personal revelators or personal practitioners. We're all a teacher. We're all a revelator. This is what this is saying. We will not make an impact. We'll come every year to the summer school to hear what the teacher has to reveal this year. And the same teacher we heard last year now has better revelation, so we better go hear that revelation. You mean we have to wait a whole year now to get more revelation at a summer school? Isn't this dumb? This is not science. We each are. Teacher and student should be familiar with the obstetrics taught by this science. There'll be a time when we hope there are no summer schools. There'll be no books. I mean, that is just meaning that in a general way is that man doesn't have to teach man anymore. We know that. We go through science and past science to being itself. I'm saying it and I make my livelihood on teaching. So the thing is, but we got to be scientists. We want to go forward. And that's just religion. To put it, the responsibility on a few. We all have the responsibility. And that was the message Max Kapler asked us to bring to the summer school, is please show and express to the students that the responsibility is on us all. It's not on a few. And this Christ shows how it is on us all. Because the Christ comes to us all. That Christ consciousness individualizes itself. It's individual Christ consciousness where we're all a universal blessing right at home. Because it's consciousness, and consciousness is everywhere. So don't feel that what we do in our study at home isn't having a universal impact. It is. Again, using Max as an example, as a teacher, he always said, well, John Dorley said, you know, one just keeps referring back to examples that have been given to us, but he also has said in the past that he would be in Switzerland in those early years just praying and pondering and loving the idea, and the students just were blessed all over, that they came from New Zealand and in England, America. I didn't even know that there they came in the middle 60s and 70s. It was a universal blessing. Well, that was his experience. Now, our experience is the universe is responding everywhere to that impact, just being home. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto us. So the responsibility is on everyone's shoulders. Can we feel that? Then it will go forward. Otherwise, to wait from summer to summer to summer, that's that linear development. We are working with self-organizing, spontaneous, non-linear systems that are at an exponential growth rate that are happening now, 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 now. Gosh, that's wonderful, isn't it? Okay, let's go forward. This is what this Christ order is teaching us. We all have that individual Christ consciousness now if we're open to this law, and we're all a universal blessing. Isn't that terrific? We're all a Mary, so to speak, to the universe. So this is what the law says. It's so beautiful, and it's said right here at the law of the Christ and the law of Christ consciousness, which individualizes itself and adapts itself to a specific situation. Okay, so we see now that we love that and we cherish it. That's what's going to make it being a Mary to it, loving it, pondering it, carrying it around with us, loving its potential, loving its promise, skipping out of the classroom full of joy and promise of the fulfillment of this law of truth, life, and love. Now, how does it come to the human? Well, if we look then on how this law specifies itself to the human, we look at page 50 in the study aid. And here we have that wonderful Christ order. Now, we have seen that this Christ order is given us to us in the textbook on page 115 and 116. That's in the chapter on science, theology, and medicine under the science section of Mind with Mind. Now that, of course, is the chapter which is so important. And as we know, Mrs. Eddy wanted to put it first in the textbook, but thought, no, there's a preparation towards the understanding of the Christ as the Christ. And it's a chapter with the accentuation of the Christ as the Christ, meaning the first Christ is the first translation of how God comes to us, that downward causation. The second part of the Christ is how that has an inward impact which causes the upward causation. It's the law of the optimistic arrow of evolution through the downward causation and what we could call the pessimistic arrow. We call it pessimistic arrow through the upward causation. This is all shown on the Christ translation and retranslation. We're on page 115, 116 in the textbook, shown as page 50 in the study aid. We have then on that, in the textbook on page 115, first given to us that law of downward causation, the downward thrust, that self-organizing, spontaneous, non-linear impact of the optimistic arrow of time coming to us. This is the Niagara Falls feeling. It comes down. You feel that? Downward to every single situation. And that's how Mrs. Eddy calls this the first, well, she calls it a translation of immortal mind. Well, that's the first translation. She gives it first, but certainly a translation of immortal mind we take serious, and we take it seriously as being the first. The second translation is under the translation of mortal mind. That's secondary. So that first translation of immortal mind is then how God, principle, has within itself to bring out its divine hologram. That's the whole point of it. As Jean Klaus said so nicely, that statement, that love unexpressed isn't love. Well, that's what's happening here. God unexpressed isn't God. God wants to make itself expressed. God wants to bring out the divine holographic image of itself. As universe, divine science, as the collective absolute Christian science, but as the individual absolute Christian science and Christian science. Bringing out what it is universally, collectively, and individually through absolute Christian science and Christian science. So we see then that that is God bringing forth its idea, man as idea, the immediate object of understanding, an image in mind. An image in mind is a hologram, a divine hologram. It exists as an image. It's not the original. It's a reflection of the original. Therefore, man as an idea, we now know, is a holographic image. It can never be lost. The Christ knows where we are. It knows everything we're doing. It knows our state of transparency. It knows everything about us. You know, if the Christ is something, the office in God, like these little satellites that are up in space that are in there reading everything on Earth, spying on everyone. They say eventually, maybe it does it now, it can go down and read what time it is on our watch. It just picks out everything about us. Well, that's the counterfeit symbol, really, of the Christ, which is the scanner that knows absolutely everything about us. We are in the bonds of Christ. We can't get out of the view of that scanner. It's watching us constantly. So it knows where our transparency is. We can't fool the Christ. Who said we can fool some of the people, some of the time, and not, what is it? How does it go?
All the people some of the time and some of the people, no, some of the people all the time and all the people some of the time, but not all the people all the time.
All right. So we can fool some of the people
all the time
and maybe all of the people some of the time, but we can't fool all of the people all of the time. Something like that.
It was Abe Lincoln.
Yeah, Abe Lincoln, that's right. Okay. He saw that we can't fool God. We can fool our neighbors and do all these little tricks on them that we think that we're getting away with, but God knows what we're doing. And David saw that. He said, "The Lord will avenge me of thee." David knew that anything that isn't right within any holographic image, whether within us or within others, if we're trying to fool others or others are trying to fool us, it can't be done, because the Christ knows everything that's going on. It knows its plan for all of us. It's going to bring the plan out. Let's say that we try to trick the neighbor so the neighbor doesn't get their mission done. The neighbor will get the mission done in spite of us. Or the neighbor tricks us so we don't get our mission done. We get it done. That's a Joseph story, huh? The coat of many colors, where all the brethren tried to trick Joseph by digging the big hole so he'd fall into it and go into Egypt and get him out of the way so they can get all their little dirty tricks done. Well, it didn't stop his mission yet. Went into Egypt and all these experiences that people try to send us into chaos, whatever. We still get our job done. If we try to keep others from doing it, they still get their job done. We can't do it. The Christ knows everything that goes on. That's this point here of how that holographic image is going to be brought out in spite of what goes on. So the God knows what it has brought to us as the ideal image, and through the law, that's that downward causation. It brings it down. It brings itself down to every single situation. If we respond at that situation and say, and are transparent, then that idea is comprehended, you see. If the scanner comes down and finds the transparency in all of us and say, oh, that is like the original code, then that's fine. It finds its response, the idea is comprehended, and we just are really then on the level of absolute Christian Science. No problem. It has presented itself as the ideal hologram. That ideal holographic idea is accepted. It accepts its responsibility. It accepts the idea about the business. It accepts the idea about the neighbor. It accepts everything. Then it's still on absolute Christian Science. It has responded positively. But if that idea comes to us as our life, as others' lives, as the idea of the business, whatever it should be, and if that idea is not accepted or isn't responded to, then that acts as a law of correction and sends us through a phase transition from the first degree to the second degree to the third degree. That's why that little diagram on page 50 on top really is showing what's going on now in the Christ order that we'll be studying now together. It is showing then that divine principle, that's the order that she gives for God, that God is principle, life, truth, love, soul, spirit, mind. Now that divine principle, God, as life, the fatherhood, as truth the sonship, love the motherhood. We're going to talk more about this, but life as the fatherhood, it's, life is no longer the father as it was in the word. Here it's fatherhood. It's the hood of God, meaning hood is an operational sense. The father is set into operation. So life becomes, life is becomes a fatherhood of God here. It's hooding itself. It's expressing. It has an expressing sense to how it's bringing out that divine plan. Truth is a sonship. It's the expression of truth. Love is a motherhood. It's expressing love. And it's a power tone behind life. It's a power tone behind truth. It's a power tone behind love. So that divine principle now, as life, truth, and love, is in a downward causation. And we'll go over this as we go through the law in more detail. But first of all, that subjective principle is first of all appearing divinely objective. Divine principle, which is life, truth, and love, is now divinely subjective. It's presenting what it is. And as it presents what it is, its purpose at the point of soul is to make subject and object one, is to make what its purpose is, the code, the goal, the goal-oriented, goal causality, success mechanism, and the objectification of bringing it out like its goal. It's going to make sure that the identity of what it wants to bring out is going to be objectified like itself. And therefore, it does that by spirit, by that hierarchical order of taking that goal, which is wanting to make subject and object one, and it does it via the hierarchical control of spirit, by taking that goal and diversifying it within the plan. That ideal law of life, truth, and love now is diversified everywhere, so everyone partakes of that law of the divine success mechanism. Of the word, it classifies that law of the divine success mechanism, that it comes not only to the universe, to the earth, to the environment, but right down to us. It's classified, it comes to every single classification, and it comes to every individual within that classification. Everything can partake of the word, can partake of the law of the divine success mechanism of the word, because of this law of the hierarchical control of spirit. It's going to make sure everything, that law is diversified everywhere, it's classified everywhere, and it's individualized everywhere. And mind just says, and I'm going to manifest it everywhere. And if that isn't understood in the law of the downward causation through the optimistic arrow of the law of translation, if there's not isomorphy between that subjective view and the objective view, then it's going to act as a law of correction. It's going to now, through the phase transition, make that subject and object one.